passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the gospel. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down the branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed after cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll notice that things have changed because we've changed seasons. We are entering the season of Advent. The flowers are replaced by greens. We have our Advent wreath up. The white and the green vestments and altar hangings that were in place since Easter give way to the purple of Advent. And we wear purple on Advent because it is a penitential season. It's the time that the world, the last 4 weeks before Christmas, the world dedicates to Xmas, to getting ready to buy presents and decorate. But we don't. As Christians, we take these 4 weeks to look forward to not the birth of Christ, because he's already been born, but to look forward to his return, the second coming, when he comes in power and in glory. And so this season of Advent is a season that we put aside to think about end things, to think about death, to think about judgment, and to think about the apocalypse. Now, the apocalypse is a very familiar term in our culture and pretty misunderstood. If you look at our movies and our books and the video games that our children are playing, the apocalypse comes because we either press the button on nuclear war or Mother Nature got tired of us abusing her and decided to hit us back. The apocalypse of the culture is usually populated by only a few heavily armed men and bikini-clad women who are waging war against zombies and every other kind of lawless hellion that managed to set themselves through the terrible time. The apocalypse is not about fighting lawless gangs or zombies. That apocalypse, the victim of it is judgment and order. Our apocalypse is about the second coming of Jesus. It's about the restoration of judgment and order. And it's the dissolution of the rule of sin and death and the devil in our world and in our lives. Now, we look at the world and we say, well, maybe we are getting close to that grand apocalypse when everything will end. If you lived in Houston this year or South Florida, you probably thought that things were getting pretty desperate. And who knows? We may actually be getting close to it. But whether we are or not, we need to think about the end times and the end things, because whether we are 20 years old or 90 years old, we are getting closer to our own personal apocalypse, that time when the moon is dark to us, when the sun doesn't shine, when we are passing through that portal of death and are only going to be lit by the love of Christ as we go through the cross into the veil on the other side. And so it's appropriate to think about end times and to think about end things and to get ourselves prepared for that. You know, this coming of Jesus in judgment is often portrayed as this horrible rending of the world. And the truth is that Jesus will probably come in a way we don't expect, because we always get it wrong. I mean, they thought he was going to come as a king the first time, and he came as a baby in a stable. When he comes this time, he'll also come with love and with judgment, and probably in a way that we don't understand. But what we know is this, that when he comes to judge the world and separate the sheep from the goats, he's not a basketball coach choosing up sides and sending some people over here and some people over there. That's not the way this works. What is separated at the apocalypse, what is separated at the end time, is the sinfulness that is in our lives and in our hearts. It's our greed.
It's our selfishness. It's our fear. It's our self-importance and our pride that is separated from us, because we can't be in the presence of Jesus, who gave his life for us and who loves us, when we are absorbed with selfishness and materialism and the things that keep us entangled, ensnared, and enchained in this world. All of that has to be separated from us so that we can be prepared to enter with him into the kingdom that he created for us. And that's really the beautiful thing that we have to look forward to, that during this season, we can separate from our lives, begin separating from our lives, all those entanglements, those selfishnesses, those prideful desires that we have, because we know that they don't ever bring us happiness, right? Selfishness only leads to greed, which only leads to anxiety, which leads to being jealous of what somebody else might have. Self-importance leads to despair, and it leads to sadness, and it leads to loneliness. It's good for us to leave those things aside and to anticipate the way that we will come into the kingdom of heaven and to begin to be that way before we get there. Now, if we look at this gospel that we were given today, and we think about it in terms of getting ready for Christmas, it seems terribly out of place. But if we think about it in relationship to preparing ourselves for our end times, then all of a sudden it becomes terribly appropriate and desperately important. We have Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem 2 days before he is going to be crucified, and he is being lauded as a king, a material king who will have wealth and who have power, and whose followers expect to be sharing in that wealth and in that power. But the truth is that the plaudits of men, the applause of men fail. The admiration of men fail. Because that path of palms didn't lead to a throne, it led to the cross. And that what really is important for us to understand is that when we emulate the sacrificial love that Jesus gave for us, when we follow his road of palms to the cross and through the cross and into the next world, then we are receiving that reward that we were created to have, uncluttered by all the silliness and all the sadness that is in this world. And the gospel ends with Jesus driving the money changers out of the temple, which is how he purified the physical temple in the city of Jerusalem at the time. But it's really important for us because we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We are where the Spirit of God resides, and our temples are cluttered with our material concerns, with our anxieties, with our selfishness, with our greed, with our worries, with our jealousies. And we have to drive those money changers out of our lives. We have to cleanse our temple. We have to make ourselves a fit home for the Spirit of Christ to live in us and to transform us, so that when we come to meet him, we are already into that process of being cleansed so that we can have the inheritance that he has reserved for us. And that inheritance is nothing but beautiful and wonderful. It is endless life. It is eternal love. It's the reconciliation and perfection of every relationship that we had in this world, brought into the next and made the way we always hoped it would be. And that's why, as we go through this season, I hope we will all pay special attention to that part of the Lord's Prayer that we oftentimes rush through, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the season of Advent.
the season of purging from ourselves our sinfulness, taking away death's and Satan's hold on us, and opening our hearts to go to the place that Jesus has reserved for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.